Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things that appertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins. These words are taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, one of the many duties of a priest, and I would add one of the many privileges of the holy priesthood, is to assist souls in the final moments of life. This is done primarily by administering the sacrament of extreme unction, hearing their confessions, giving them holy viaticum when possible, and by encouraging them in their worries, their fears, and their temptations. Every priest has stories about different sick calls that he's gone on, about the various visits that he's made to someone in failing health. This morning, I'd like to share one such story, which I found particularly edifying. It happened a little over 4 years ago in February 2020, right before the country was shut down. I was on my way upstate from Long Island and been asked to stop and visit a little girl from one of our parishes. She was at the Sloan Kettering Hospital in Manhattan, being treated for leukemia at the time, but is now cancer-free. Now, in the last 10 years, I've been in numerous hospitals and medical centers, but this was different. It was my first time in the children's wing of a cancer hospital, and it made a big impression on me. As you walk through the halls, you come across children of various ages with different forms of cancer. For some of them, it might be their last chance. But sad as it is, one thing that really stood out to me was that the majority of the children that I saw had smiles on their faces. They had no complaints. They were happy as much as was possible because they were grateful for the chance to get better. One of these children was a boy about 8 or 9 years old named Chetman. On my way out of the hospital that day, I was standing by the elevator waiting when this little boy came up to me and said, "Are you a priest?" I told him that I was and asked him his name, and I could see his parents kind of waiting off in the distance, seemingly thrilled that I had stopped to talk with their son. And I had the opportunity to meet them after talking with their boy. Apparently, Chetman had some form of leukemia, and he had been in the hospital for several months. So we talked for a little bit about where he lived, what he liked to do, his favorite superheroes, and then, of course, about God, about Our Lady, and about the saints. And I remember him saying his favorite saint was Saint Michael the Archangel. But at one point while we were talking, Chetman said, "Hey, Father, can I pray for you?" And thinking that he meant that he'd keep me in his prayers, I said, "Sure, that would be great." And so then and there, out loud in the hallway, he launched into the Hail Mary. Needless to say, I was very touched by this, but what he said afterwards, and the way he said it, I will never forget. He said, "Father, do priests really talk to Jesus at Mass?" "Yes," I said, "we do." "Does he listen?" "Yes, he does." Chetman then asked, "Father, can you please ask Jesus at Mass to help my dad and my mom? They are very sad that I'm not getting better." "Yes, definitely," I said. "I will ask him at every Mass, and I'm sure he will help your mom and dad." He got a big smile, and then he said, "Since Jesus listens to you, please ask him to help me get better too." I assured him that I would pray for him every single day and that I would ask our Lord at every single Mass. He then said that he would always pray for me. I don't know what became of that little boy, my dear friends, and so I do continue praying for him each day. But what I do know is this. He understood in the simplest terms the holy priesthood. He understood in the simplest terms what St. Paul wrote to the Hebrews. that every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things that appertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on them that are ignorant and that err, St. Paul says, because he himself also is compassed with infirmity. One author put it this way. He wrote, "The priest is a man set apart by God to speak to God on behalf of men and to speak to men on behalf of God, to strengthen God's people, to forgive them in his name. The priest is a man set apart to offer sacrifice on behalf of mankind. The priest is a man set apart to be a light in the darkness, to give hope when there is discouragement, to give love when there is coldness, to give comfort when there is sorrow, to give courage when there is fear." Ah, yes, this author wrote, the priest is not set apart for himself. He is set apart by God for each and every one of us. He is set apart, he concludes, to give. And give he does. For as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, it is through priests that God communicates his grace to the faithful in the sacraments. Through them he makes us his children and saves us by baptism. Through them he heals the infirm and even brings back to life sinners that are dead to divine grace by the sacrament of penance. Through priests he nourishes souls and preserves in them the life of grace by means of the Holy Eucharist. Through them he gives strength to the dying to overcome the temptations of hell by means of extreme unction. In a word, writes St. Alphonsus, it is primarily through priests that God gives us what we need to save our souls. How grateful we should be, my dear friends, that our divine Savior has given us this holy priesthood. He didn't have to, but because he loves us so much, he did. How grateful we should be to him for that. Even more so in this day and age, when there are so few priests with certainly valid orders. And how grateful I am to have the privilege of sharing in this priesthood for 10 years now. And the privilege to work with other dedicated, self-sacrificing priests, brothers, and seminarians. To have been set apart with them in a congregation with such a family spirit as ours, to strive each day to comfort the Sacred Heart and to help save as many souls as we possibly can. And that is precisely the vision that Bishop Kelly had, our founder and spiritual father. It is precisely the vision that he had in starting our congregation to console the Sacred Heart, to give people hope, as Bishop Mendez encouraged him to do, and to help save as many souls as possible. In fact, the last time I had the opportunity to visit with Bishop Kelly, he reiterated this, as he often would when he was with the priests, seminarians, and brothers. A few months before Bishop Kelly died, Father Colin Buckley and I had the opportunity to go visit him, as I believe all the priests were able to do before Bishop passed. Over a cup of coffee, we talked about various things. If I recall correctly, it was about several hours, actually. And eventually we got on the topic of the state of the world and how many souls were, as our Lord once said, like sheep without a shepherd. But I'll never forget, as we talked about this, Bishop Kelly paused, and he said quite emphatically, "Our job is to comfort the Sacred Heart, to give hope to people, and to help save as many souls as we possibly can. That's all that matters," he said. This was Bishop Kelly's vision for the priests, for the brothers, for the seminarians here in the congregation of St. Pius V. This is what we strive to do each day. And this is what we, with God's grace, will continue to do. And it is especially because of you, my dear friends, because of your prayers, because of your sacrifices, because of your support, that we are able to do this. A certain priest once wrote, "Priests and religious are to be beacons of light for the faithful, but it is the prayers and sacrifices of the faithful that keep those beacons burning brightly." And so thank you for all you have done for us. And please continue praying for our bishops, for our priests, our brothers, and our seminarians, both in the congregation of St. Pius V and in the Society of St. Pius V. Pray that we may be priests and religious after the example of Christ, the eternal high priest, that we may repair the harm done to the Sacred Heart by the sins of the world, and that we may help save as many souls as we possibly can. Pray for the repose of the souls of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Alfred Mendez, and Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, because we would not be here today without them. Please pray for the sisters, that as true daughters of the Blessed Virgin Mary, they may by their prayers, their sacrifices, and their works comfort the Sacred Heart and help save the souls of countless people. And let all of us, my dear friends, pray and sacrifice for vocations. Let us pray that many more young men will answer the call of Christ and, like true soldiers, risk comfort and the things of this world to be a light in the darkness today, a lifeline for people whose immortal souls hang in the balance, a person who will make a difference in time and please God in eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.